Hello everyone, this is Soul Essentials Healing. This is our Soul Essentials Healing Hour. Facebook took a minute for the video to come on. So if you're here, say hi, let me know that you're here. So tonight, what we're supposed to be talking about is, hi Samar, how are you? There you are. Okay. So tonight the topic that I suggested is that, there you go. Hi, how are you, Mandy? Yes. We're alive. So the topic that we picked today was talking to people on the other side, or the other side. What happens when we die? Loved ones on the other side. What do we do? How do we talk to them? So with this topic, let me know what your questions are about it, what you want me to talk about. It looks like they moved the comments on the Facebook Live. They used to be on the other side, now they're over here. So many of you know that, so if you are watching, just let me know. Hi, Marla. Yeah, let me know your questions so I can make sure I answer them. And, you know, I have been a psychic medium for, over 20 years. Actually, I was always one. I just didn't know that I was always one. I had psychic ability from day one. As a child, I had a lot of psychic ability. But again, I didn't know that that's what I had or that's what I was doing. But I would just kind of move my light, kind of know things ahead of time. I did a lot of listening when I was a kid, partly because my grandpa made this comment once where he said, you know, you learn more from listening than you do from talking. And I never forgot that. So I've always listened more than necessarily talking. That listening, that just kind of paying attention, that is what helps you to just kind of know and sense and feel what's going on. So that's a practice that I've had from a very young age. Yeah. Okay. How to become more in tune when they give you a message. What's it like on the other side? So this is an ability that I've had my whole life. And then once when I was 27 is when it really, well, a little bit before that is when I really started developing the ability. I had the ability because I would just know things, I would just sense things, I would feel things. But when I, around 26, 27-ish, that's when I really started like getting books on it and trying to develop it, doing psychic exercises, that kind of stuff. That's when it really kicked off and took off. my mom would take me to psychic fairs, and there used to be giant like psychic festivals, and she would take me to those. She's actually the one that bought me my first tarot deck. So the mediumship, so I figured out that I had psychic ability, and I started developing that psychic ability, and started doing readings for people. Actually, I started out because I didn't have a lot of confidence and I didn't really know what I was doing. I actually started out with $15 a reading. That's how long I've been doing this, guys. Like, it was super cheap. And as I became more confident and realized what I was doing and that I had an ability and that what I was telling people was, you know, correct stuff. Of course, my prices did go up, but That is how long ago it's been. I started out with this little $15 years and years ago. So, the mediumship, on the other hand, that is something I didn't always know that I had, and that is an ability that just happened to me one day. I used to clean houses for a living for some very, very, very wealthy people and doctors and stuff while I was going to college. And I was in this lady's bedroom, and I was cleaning her bed, and she had this giant, huge, giant white bed, and I was dusting it, and as I was standing next to the bed, I got this feeling that somebody came up and grabbed me, just like grabbed me, wrapped their arms around me, and just kind of froze. I was like, oh my God. And I remember talking out loud, saying, I'm not here to hurt her, I'm just here to clean the house. And then I had the thought, like, that's crazy, why am I saying that? Like, I'm talking to the air, this is crazy, right? So I was trying to see if this picture moves. It doesn't move because it's kind of blocking the comments. So then I went over around the bed, and I went over to her dresser, and I was dusting the dresser, and I said again, I'm only here to clean. I'm not here to hurt her. I'm just here to clean, and I'm going to be leaving soon. And then I just kept thinking, this is so crazy that I'm thinking this and I'm talking to the air. So I thought that again. And he ended up following me all the way through the house as I was cleaning the house. And I remember to this day, I remember I was done cleaning the house. I actually wasn't going to clean the house again, because I was quitting cleaning houses. This was going to be like my last house cleaning job. I was going to go manage a physical therapy center. And I remember stepping out of the house and stepping into the garage. I put my foot on that step in the garage, and I said, if he follows me for 2 weeks, I'll call her. And sure enough, he followed me for 2 weeks, and I called her. And I remember when I talked to her, I said, do you have, because he was giving me images and pictures of things. And I said, do you have an anniversary or birthday coming up? And she didn't answer me. And I thought, I am just crazy. I have lost my mind. I'm nuts. So then I asked her again. And she said, April, they're both coming up. And I said, I think I'm supposed to give you a reading. And that is actually how I figured out I was a medium, and that's how the mediumship started. And I've been doing mediumship readings ever since. Now, I have strengthened that ability, which we're going to talk about tonight, since then, but it is something that just happened to me. It isn't something I knew that I had. So, the thing about mediums is this: everybody has this ability. Really, ultimately, at the end of the day, we all have this ability. We all have the ability to talk to people on the other side. If we were to really develop it, really work on listening to what they're saying. But all mediums, okay, are psychic. So all mediums, if you are a medium, you are in the middle. You are a doorway between both sides, from the other side and this side. And the people that are on the other side know that. So they know they can get to you. They know you can hear them to get to their loved one. Their loved one may not be able to hear you, or maybe they're blocked, or maybe because they might be too hurt because of your passing, so they might not be able to get the messages. They know that you're a doorway if you're a medium, so they come to you. Not all psychics are necessarily medium. Okay, they're not all mediums, but all mediums are psychic. So that's the difference. So there's a little bit of a difference there. All psychics are reading energy, and they're getting energy from people and picking up energy, and they're reading it. So they're taking in energy, and they're transforming that information into data, and they're giving you a reading. And so then from the psychic, so that's just like picking up the energy, reading it, deciding what it's saying, what it feels like, what you're hearing. And then we have what they call clairvoyant psychic, which I am a clairvoyant psychic. Now, clairvoyant means I'm not just picking up on your energy. So I don't just know that you're sick. I don't just know that you don't feel good or that you're sad or that you're struggling, right? I am now getting information from source. So I'm clairvoyant. Information is now being downloaded to me. So that's the difference. So if you hear somebody say they're a clairvoyant psychic, that's what they mean by that. They mean that they're getting information downloaded. So I'm not just reading your energy field. I'm doing more than reading your energy field. I'm also picking up on information from source, from your guides, from angels. Angel readers, they're clairvoyant. They're getting information downloaded to them, okay, through the upper chakras and through the energy fields. An evidential psychic, which is something that I'm also an evidential psychic. So I could add all these words to the title, evidential clairvoyant psychic medium. I could add all of those to the title, but I just want to explain to you, if you guys go get a reading from somebody, this way you kind of know what you're getting. So evidential means I can give you proof of things. It's evidence, right? So evidential. A lot of remote viewing use evidential psychic ability. So I don't do a lot of the remote viewing. I could, but I don't. It's not a skill that I've necessarily really focused on developing. But I have done things like that before. I have found, I had a friend, still a friend, she lost a ring that she really liked. It was really important. She wanted to know if it was still around. I told her that it is in the backyard and that it was going to show up down the road, like a few months or whatever. And it actually was about 4 months, I think, 4, maybe 5 months. And it showed up in the yard. So that's evidential, right? It's also like when I get a lot of people from the other side that talk to me and they'll tell me, so if they had heart problems, I'll say, my heart hurts or there's something wrong in this area. That's evidential. So I'm giving you evidence as to things that are true, things that I wouldn't normally know. Okay? So those are the different types. And there's other different types, but those are the main ones that you'll hear a lot: clairvoyant, evidential, psychic medium, okay? So people, so first let's talk about what is happening when we die. Okay? So then I can go into how to tune into them. And then what it's like on the other side. So, everything is energy, and it's really kind of amazing that we aren't taught this more in school. We're taught basic atoms, protons, neutrons, electrons, but we're not really taught what's really going on in the body. The body is so dynamic, and it is vibrating. Everything is vibrating inside your body, and it's amazing that all these chemical reactions are going on, all this vibration is going on, but yet you don't feel it, right? Oh, thank you, Lakshmi. But everything in your body is vibrating. It's doing thousands upon thousands and thousands of chemical reactions per second. And the thing about, and that is why we have things like sound meditation, and they say specific hertz, listen to specific hertz for physical issues because it will change the vibration in the body. Because actually, every single part of your body is vibrating as it's doing its chemical reactions, as it's binding and releasing and doing all of these things, it's all vibrating at a certain frequency. All of it. And the human body is energy, right? But inside of those cells and inside of you is your soul, right? So you can kind of picture it like this, like the inside of you running through you is your soul. Now, if we were going to go a little bit farther, because, how do I explain this? So you have the physical body, and then you have the different layers of the body, right? The etheric body and the mental body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, right? These energy fields. So there's a energy teacher out there. what's his name? Jeffrey something. What's his name? Oh, hi, Mandy. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me. So anyways, Jeffrey, oh God, I can't think of his name right now. He says, have you ever heard that your soul is in your body? And he says, that's actually not true. Your body is in your soul. When he said that, that's what he means. So I don't want to confuse people, but your body is actually in your soul because of those energy bodies, those layers to the energy body. So you have the etheric body and the mental body, the emotional body, the spiritual body. Those are energy layers, right? That's all part of your spirit. But inside of that, inside of your body, is the core. So let's explain it that way. Let's make that separation. So that's the core. That's the true part of your soul, your spirit. That's the part that's really, really connected to source, okay? It's all connected to source, but inside the central meridian, that's the straight line to God. That's your telephone to God, right? Some people explain it as like the silver cord that's connected to you. And when the physical body dies, because those chemical reactions, all that vibrating doesn't vibrate correctly, and things start to break down, because the human body has organs that break down, the physical body dies, the soul, the spirit, the core part leaves and goes to the other side. Okay? On the other side, there are no organs. There's no organs. On the other side, that's why there's no illness. So what is it like on the other side? There's no illness. That's the first thing. There's no glasses. There's no wheelchairs. There's no broken bones. There's no disease. There's none of that on the other side. Because we don't have organs that are failing or going to fail or not working properly or not vibrating properly to the right part. It's all healing. It's all perfection over there. Okay? So that's the first thing, you know. So many, many people say to me, you know, are my loved ones okay? And because a lot of us die these horrifically painful deaths, or we're ill, or we're suffering for a long time, there's none of that on the other side. There is no suffering over there. There's no illness. There was no... there's no disease, there's no getting sick and trying to get better. You're better, period. That's it. You're just better. You're good. You're perfect. So let me see what Mandy's... My sister and I had a reading with you in October. Yes, you made a statement that came from my grandpa about my mom. The next day, without telling her about what we did, my mom said the exact same statement, word for word, that you told us from our grandpa. Oh, okay. Thanks. Hi, Berta. What reading, Samara? The one that I was talking about where I found out I was a medium? So, on the other side, no illness at all, whatsoever. None. Okay? Everybody's healed. And the kind of the theory that everybody is like 35 and like Jesus and healed, that is true. Now, I do have people come to me and they show me that they're older, but it's not like older like here. And a lot of times what they show me is how you would remember them. So, you know, if they were kind of balding and things like that, they will show me that so that you can recognize them when I talk to them, so that you know who I'm talking to, okay? The other part of what it's like on the other side is, so let's go back. So that you the soul, no age on the other side. Oh, the white bed reading, yeah. No, there's, so it's kind of, well, I don't want to say no age. There's no aging. But I do have souls that come to me that are younger. And I do have souls that come to me that appear to be older. So I have had younger children come to me. I've had middle-aged people come to me and older. So I don't want to say like there's no age. There's kind of no age because, you know, everybody, it's not like here where, you know, like we're young and we're old. It's kind of all the same. But they have showed up to me in different forms. So we do still evolve on the other side. So it can be an older soul. But it's more about how they present themselves. Okay, so if you have, yeah, I do, I've had babies, yep. I've had babies come to me, I've had little kids come to me, and I've had very older people come to me, so. But it's more about how you would remember them. A lot of, now there are some souls that do stay younger. And there are some souls that, you know, on the other side, they stay older. So I don't want to confuse you guys. It's just, it gets complicated to try to explain it and understand it at the same time. So, yes, there are different aged souls on the other side. And there are some that kind of will stay young. And then there are some that will present themselves and they'll be older. So like, you know, for most people, when they think of Jesus, he comes at approximately the same age. He kind of stays at that age, right? So there are some souls that can choose to stay as a child or as an older person. Does that make more sense? I think if I use Jesus, most people understand when his soul appears, he's about the same age to everybody. I have not had anybody yet tell me that they've met a really old Jesus, right? Your mom's soul, if she passed at 33, would still be about 33, yes. It doesn't mean that your mom's soul's not evolving, though, is the key, guys. Right? It does, your soul will still evolve. It will still grow on the other side. It will still learn. But I don't want to use the word grow because that's going to confuse you. I want to use the word evolve because we do still learn on the other side. We just don't learn the way we learn here. We don't have to go through necessarily, you know, like we go through life lessons here and they're difficult. We don't have to do that on the other side, but we do still learn, and there's kind of like a school type thing. If I'm only using the word school because it's the best way to understand it, but there is still learning over there. Okay. So when you go to the other side, you are completely healed. Most people go to, now while they may present themselves to me as older, 70, 80 years old, most people go to, you know, whatever spot is kind of the best for them. So if 40-ish is like their best, that's the age that they'll kind of stay in, right? The idea is that Jesus is about 35 and that most people go to 35 years of age. And that's generally true as well, because that's usually a prime age for a lot of people. But there are animals on the other side. I have seen dogs, I've seen cats, a couple birds, some rabbits. I've seen a horse has come to me in a reading. So there are animals on the other side. Animals go to the other side as well. And so once we leave the body, okay, we leave the body, and for some people, they go into a healing chamber. Right. And we'll go there right now, okay, Samar? Now, this healing chamber, from what I have learned, is black. What is Jesus up to? That's a good question. You think I could channel Jesus, Samar? That would be awesome. I think we all can talk to Jesus if you want to. But it's the same thing. He's doing the same thing there that he's doing here, was doing here, teaching and helping and healing. Same thing. That's what he's doing. So when you go to this healing chamber, it is black, but it's not a scary black. It's a healing black, and it's a loving. It's almost like being wrapped like in a blanket, enveloped, and it's very healing. And that is a space where you go, especially if you had a difficult lifetime, to kind of heal your soul a little bit before you go to the other side, okay? We do have a life review, but the life review is not what most people think it is. Most people think that God is going to judge us. God is not going to judge you. He is not going to judge you, okay? Jesus is not standing there at the gates and God's going to let you through or not let you through. That's not what's happening. You have a life review, and through the life review, you judge yourself based off of what you were able to learn, grow, and accomplish in this lifetime. And I don't mean accomplish like, boy, did I, you know, do 50 things. It's because when you came here, you set a certain goal, you set a certain path, a certain thing that you wanted to learn, or several things that you wanted to learn, and you look at how well did you do. Were you able to learn those lessons? Were you able to grow from those lessons? And from that point, when you look at, okay, how well did I do on this lesson of self-love, on the lesson of forgiveness, on the lesson of gratitude, how well did I do? That is when you decide whether you are coming back or not. Okay? And some souls wait between lifetimes, and waiting on the other side because there's no real concept of time. So like, you know, like astronauts, like when they go up into space, if they were up into space long enough, you know that when they would come back here, they would actually be like younger than their family that they left, right? Because it's different. The time, space, it's different. There's no time on the other side. So when I say you could wait to come back, it could seem like it's 20, 30 years, but it would be like 1 minute here. So it could be a very long time, or it could be some souls choose to jump right back in, come right back. And that's up to the soul. There is a council that helps you decide whether you should come back, looks at the things that you want to do now, and says, you know, this lifetime is going to be a little bit difficult. You might want to think about it. It's going to be kind of high risk. Maybe you've taken on a little too many tasks. But ultimately, you have free will, so you can choose to still come in here and take on those difficult tasks. So the reason why you would come back here instead of learn on the other side is because here, one, it's accelerated learning, so you learn faster than you would learn on the other side. Or you will evolve faster. The lessons here are very usually intense. So from what I've heard from many teachers is like coming to Earth is like one of the more difficult schools. So it's kind of like advanced learning to come here and to make it through this and learn through our lessons and heal. The other thing about coming here is that on the other side, while you can have and do whatever you want, so if you want to go golfing, you can go golfing. If you want to cook a master meal, you could do that. You want to cook a five-course meal, you can do that. But you can't actually touch and feel over there because everything is energetic. So while I could, yes, cook this awesome meal or go golfing, I have to actually come here to taste chocolate. Right? I have to come here to taste it. That's why. Yeah. And every near-death experience that I've ever listened to where they have died, they went to the other side and they've come back, they have all, every one of them said they felt so free and expansive. So being in this physical body, so the core coming into this physical body, that core connection to source is very, very limiting. It feels like squeezing down into this teeny tiny little body when your soul, when it's connected to source, is so expansive. It's just so free. And having to shrink down into this little body, every one of them have said that they really just wanted to be expansive and free. Okay? So those are the first things. So when you have your life review, you are reviewing yourself. You are not being judged by God. You're reviewing whether you were able to accomplish the things you set out to accomplish or not. And you also, I want to make sure you guys understand, you can choose to not come back. You can choose to do that. You can choose to come back or you can choose to not come back, okay? So let me make sure I've answered your questions. So then we're going to talk a little bit about how to tune in a little more. Just to Samar, what did you ask? Oh, the reading that I gave the lady. So I drove to, she asked me what I wanted to, what I, she should pay me, and I said, I don't know, I've never done it before. I said, how about gas money? And I drove out there, and I did the reading for her, and he gave me a bunch of, like, dates, and pictures, and images, and, said things to her. And it turned out that her birthday and anniversary were coming up, and he kept showing me this picture of this flower, which was very, very strange flower. I had never seen it before. It was like this giant white flower. And I said, I just don't know what this is. And it turns out she said that they were flowers from her wedding, but she got married in Japan. And what happened was, a few months prior, he had died. He had just died from a heart attack. And she was severely sad and depressed over it. So this actually, he wanted to get to her. So he was very nice. He was very helpful. That was my first mediumship reading, and I've been doing it ever since. So yes, he was very nice. And every since, so then I realized that I was a doorway. I was, a gateway to the other side. And when they do that, when they know that you are a gateway, they come to you. Okay? They know that they can, you know, I don't really know what it was, Samara, the flower. It was this giant white flower. I don't know, but she said it was from Japan. So, when it comes to developing this ability, the first step is to realize that everything is energy and that everything is vibrating at a certain frequency, and that you are vibrating at a certain frequency. All your cells, every chemical reaction, talking, hearing, tasting, feeling, those, oh, thank you, those are all vibrations, right? Sound is actually vibration. I learned because my youngest daughter was born deaf, and we didn't know why for the longest time because there's nobody deaf on any side of the family, any, all four sides. Like, we just can't find anybody who's deaf from birth, right? There was one person that was, but it was due to an accident. It turns out, though, that it's kind of like the disease of cystic fibrosis, where in order to get cystic fibrosis, both parents have to have the gene. Well, apparently me and her dad both have this gene that makes the child deaf. But what happened to her is it happens between week 4 and 7 in pregnancy, so barely just over a month. The cochlear hairs in the, they didn't develop. She didn't get enough of them, or the ones that she got were broken, right? So the cochlear is a snail shaped. It's not an organ. It's actually like, it's snail shaped in the skull, but it's not like an organ that you can actually take out, right? But so there's this cochlear that looks like a snail, and it's got all these little hairs, and like her hairs are like, if you were to run across the grass, they're trampled. She was born this way. But what I found out was that cochlear not only has these little hairs, but it's filled with water. So the sound goes in, it hits the drum, it goes to that cochlear, which is a snail, and it's filled with water, and it vibrates those hairs. It's vibration. We hear through vibration. We taste through vibration. We see through vibration. Everything is vibration. Everything, right? Everything is energy. So one of the, that's the first thing to do, is you have to start realizing that everything has a frequency, and you have to start listening to the frequency. And you say, well, everything is a vibration, so aren't I feeling it? Yes, you are. But I call it listening because I'm quiet. I'm listening to my body. I'm listening to what I'm getting, the information I'm getting. So I'm sensing, but I'm listening at the same time. To me, they kind of go hand in hand. I'm listening. I'm not talking in my head. I'm talking as I'm getting the information, and I'm conveying the information to you, but inside of me, I'm listening to what I'm getting. Does that make sense? But if you don't understand that everything's energy and that everything emits an energy, then it's kind of hard. That's the first step. You have to know that. And when we talk about the other side, that is one of the biggest things that they talk about, is that everything has this energy of calm, of love, of peace. They say that the grass is vibrating, the grass is singing, the flowers are singing, that everything is just this beautiful, perfect melody that just sounds so beautiful and feels beautiful, right? That's energy. That's how it is on the other side. So that's the first step. Okay, the second step is, well, first you understand that everything's energy, and two, you start actually listening to it. Not talking like, oh, does this have an energy? Is this telling me something? Does it want me? No, just listen. what does it say? What does it say? Does it sound like, you know, it? So start paying attention to how things feel around you. Okay? Start and just take note of that information. You know, does that feel good when you walk in that room? Does it feel good when you walk in that store? I was in a Hot Topic one day with my kids years ago. I had to leave. I had to leave the store. It was just like, this is the most insane energy. This is not a calm energy at all. Hot Topic is like, if for some of you who don't know, which I'm assuming most of you know, is kind of like a gothic teenager, I don't know, store. But it was just the energy in there and the music that was playing. It was just like so angry. And so I'm like, I got to go. I just got to leave. My kids are like, Mom, I'm like, no, I got to get out of here. Right? So start listening to all the energies that you're getting. When you listen to the energies, it will talk to you. It will tell you a story. Okay? So let me know if you guys, if this is making sense or where else that you, what other questions that you have about this, about psychic ability, about listening to it, about how to read it, how to sense it. Okay? So let me know so far where you guys are at with this. So we realize everything has an energy. We realize that everything, because it has an energy and a vibration, that it's communicating with us. That's another thing about the other side, is we don't communicate with our mouths. We don't have to communicate with our mouths. Energetically, it's just there. We talk to somebody, or we want to say something to somebody, or I say the word say because there's no other word for it, but it just automatically, just energetically, it's telepathic. It just transfers to the other person. We don't need our mouths. We don't need words. We just convey energetically what it is we want to express to the other person. So energy talks to you, okay? Start listening to it. After you start listening to it and you start to get good at listening, you know, I'm going to go out for my day. You had to leave two stores because of their headbanging loud music noise. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Marla. Yeah, good question. So once you start listening to it and you start noticing what you're getting, take it a step further. So when you go into a room or into a store, or even if it's an object, you can just pick up an object. I mean, I have a rock here, but, you know, how does it feel? That's an energy. It has an energy to it. How does it feel for you? You may not like the rock, right? But just start sensing things, listening to that. And then you take it a step further and you start saying, okay, well, I'm about to go out to the store today. And you hear this thing say, wait 10 minutes. You need to wait 10 minutes. You need to start listening to what you're getting. You don't know why it's telling you to wait 10 minutes. You don't know how. I remember I was supposed to take my daughter to Ann Arbor one day, autumn, because when she was little, I had to take her, like every 3 months, we had to get her hearing tested and get new molds, because you wouldn't believe how fast the human ear grows. And we had to get new molds, like every 2 months, we had to get new molds. And then finally, it was like every 6 months for a long time. And then just now, the last year or so, it's like once a year. But the human ear grows extremely fast. And I was supposed to go one day. It's an hour and 10 minutes from my house, and couldn't find my keys. Just could not find my keys for the life of me. Couldn't find my keys. Searched for hours, and to the point to where I had to cancel the appointment. I was so upset. This was like years ago. And the funny thing is I know better, but I was talking to my mom. So it must have been at least 7, 8 years ago, because my mom's been gone 6 years now. So, and she says, April, you know that if you couldn't find your keys, that's because you weren't supposed to go. maybe there was going to be an accident or maybe something was going to happen. And she's like, you know, and I do know that, right? So there's a reason, but I was so mad that I couldn't go and that I would have to reschedule because I had already taken the day off of work that I didn't stop to listen, right? And you know, the funny thing is like, I think it was later that day, my son-in-law found the keys where I had looked 20 times in the couch. He found them in the same spot I had looked 20 times. So if that doesn't tell you that I wasn't supposed to go, I don't know what is. But so start listening to what you're getting. Start listening to those little messages, those little feelings, sensations, okay? Psychic ability is always meant to guide, always meant to help you. It's never meant to do any harm. It is always meant to protect you. Always. Okay? It's never a bad thing. So, now she says, when you said that we are in a soul family, does that include non-biological people like friends and spouses? Yes. So, on the other side, another thing about the other side that I want to let you guys know is you are never, ever, 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 ever alone. You do not ever go to the other side by yourself. You are always met by somebody, whether it's your family members, it's friends, it's loved ones, it's guides. You never, ever, ever go to the other side alone. Never. Doesn't happen. Even if you think you're the worst person in the world, you still don't go to the other side alone. Okay? There's always somebody there waiting to help you cross over to the other side. We never go alone. We do stay within the same soul family. Okay? So that includes the person at the grocery store, that includes the person at the bank that you see every other day. It includes friends. It includes non-biological people. So, like my best friend in another lifetime could have been my sister. Or we could have been cousins in another lifetime. You can change gender in your lifetimes. You can be male. You can be female. You will be Egyptian. You will be black. You will be African American. You will be Spanish. You will be all different races. You could be Muslim. You will be all different religions. What you will not be is you do not go from human to animal. That does not happen. Once you are at human soul energy, you don't regress back to animal. Animals come from the elemental energies. They are a different energy. They are meant to come here and serve. And love there, so you do not go turn like I would become a wild horse. That would be one of my things. I always wanted to be a wild horse, but I would. You don't go backwards, guys. Okay. It's not to say that animals are less than. It's just that you don't go from human to animal. But now your loved ones can send an animal. So my mom had a thing with birds. She can send birds. She had a hummingbird thing. She can send a hummingbird to me. My brother tends to come through in the dragonfly. I get a lot of dragonflies when I'm thinking of my brother. That can happen, okay? So you will stay within the same soul family, and that doesn't mean that the soul family can't expand at any point. We are all connected, okay? So the theory out there is that everything energetically is connected, and they did scientific research to prove that everything is connected. So they took a particle and they separated the particle. They sent the particle 20 some miles away from each other, one particle here, one particle there. Same particle was separated, but it's miles and miles apart. They did something to one particle and they found that there was zero time lapse in the before the other particle reacted. There was no time lapse, even though they were 20 some miles away from each other, okay? So because we have always been connected, and with our soul family, we will always stay connected with our soul family. Everything is always connected and stays connected. Once it's connected, it's connected. And actually, we're all connected because at one point the earth, was a compacted little thing and it expanded. We are all part of that earth. We all live on the same earth. We all breathe the same air. So we are all connected. It's fine. So we're actually all connected. We just don't realize it. And the thing that I say to you people that they kind of don't realize is that we're on one planet. We all share the same air. It's the same air. There's not like a wall cutting the air off on one side of the planet. It's all the same air. It's all the same water. We're all the same. Now, can water be worse in one spot than the other? Sure, but it's all the same. We're all connected. So, and that's why Senator Dole's daughter said, "I promise you, you will never walk alone." Yes, we never go to the other side alone. Okay. But science, what I'm telling you is Greg Braden talks about this study. Once things are energetically connected, they are always connected. So we do stay in the same soul families. We do play different roles in our lifetimes. We do come as different people, races, shapes, sizes, colors. But we do stay always stay connected somehow, some way. Like all of you that are so grateful to be on here with me and in this group, somehow we were connected in other lifetimes. I'm not sure how we were connected, but somehow we were connected. It could have just been somebody that we traded, beads with or something. Can I visit with Lincoln or another admire person after I? Oh, yeah. You can visit with anybody over there. Yeah, you can visit with anybody over there. Once you are in the soul, in the spirit, we're all connected. We're all one, and everything is energetic over there, and everything is instant over there. Yes, so your soul has all memories. Yes, that doesn't mean that all your memories come forth with you in each lifetime, but yes, your soul has. So it doesn't mean that you will recall all of those memories in each lifetime, but yes, your soul does keep all your memories. Yes. And it doesn't forget. That is why when we have the past life regression, which is, that's something else I was supposed to talk about tonight, right? So when we do, like if somebody has an illness or something that doesn't go away, they don't know why they have it, they just seem to have this problem, they were kind of born with it. And we do a past life regression and we find that it's because they had a certain illness in another lifetime. They have carried that over with them into this lifetime. So, yes, all of your memories are in your soul. They're in your, also, DNA carries family memories. There has been some teachers that I've heard say up to 7 generations and others up to 14 generations, of memories in the soul. In the cells. And so yes, you do have all your memories. They're all there. You can go and visit whoever you want to visit on the other side. What is our connection to the stars on the other side? So I'm kind of trying to see how to say that. So stars are they're sources of energy, and there are certain ones though that are said to be like people are from certain stars, like star seeds. that's like it's really for a whole nother talk. We'll have to get into that in a whole nother talk. But you can have connection to stars. It depends on like if you are a star seed, you will be more connected to stars. Lemurians are more connected to earth and to plants and to animals. So that's why I'm saying it might be for a whole nother talk. So if you are connected to stars and you feel that connection to that energy, it might be because you're a star seed. Stars are really just energy sources. There are some that are like actually galaxies and planets where other forms live on, right? Like the star seeds, Pleiadians, Lemurians, all of those. Now you're getting into like Atlantean type stuff. But it's the kind of the same energy. I would say, Karen, you probably would want to look into star seeds since you're asking that question. But everything is connected and we are all one, and we do get energy, and we need all the things in the universe, and everything is kept in perfect balance, amazingly perfect balance. I mean, if our earth was just to tilt a little bit, it would be, you know, catastrophic, but it doesn't. It stays perfectly aligned, right where it's supposed to be. It's really actually pretty amazing that it does that, just perfectly for us to be here, to live here. So the past life regression. I told Samara I would talk about the past life regression before we ended today. And so again, I got my certification in hypnotherapy back in like 2004, and then recently I added the ability to do the past life regression. I have done regression in hypnotherapy many times where I have taken somebody back to a certain age in this lifetime or a certain event in this lifetime that, you know, maybe was giving them issues. That they, you know, maybe were having a hard time with and couldn't figure out. So the past life regression is we're asking to go back into another lifetime. So we're actually bypassing this lifetime. And we're going into another lifetime that you have had. Lisa, shh. And then what we're doing is, so usually it's it can be free-flowing. We can just ask you to kind of go back into a relevant lifetime, or we can be looking for a specific thing. So if you have a certain problem, like with a certain person, say you had a problem with your mother-in-law, and I'm just throwing this out there. You always had a problem with your mother-in-law. Don't know why you had a problem with her. You can ask your subconscious mind to go back to a time that is relevant with the mother-in-law, right? An important event, important time, an important lifetime with the mother-in-law. You can ask to do that. And you can see, oh, in that lifetime, she was actually my sister, and we didn't get along, and I stole her, you know, puppy or something, and she's always had this grudge against me. And now we find out why this time, you know, she's got these issues with me. Because we do bring our memories with us. We do bring our issues with us. We haven't cleared up that karma. That's just an example. If somebody has a fear of water, we can ask to go back into another lifetime to look at that fear of water, and then we find that they perhaps were on a ship that sank. And this is why this time they have this petrifying fear of water, okay? So the past life regression is meant to skip this lifetime, to go into another lifetime, to show a relevant issue, but link it to this lifetime. So we're bypassing it, but we're linking it to, why am I dealing with the things I'm dealing with? Or you can free flow into wherever it is that your soul wants you to go. We can ask for your soul, your subconscious, to take you to the best lifetime that would serve you. And it can be a free flowing. And then that, we don't know where we're going to add up. So when we do this meditation, it's important to get you to relax. So that takes usually at least 15, sometimes 20 minutes to get you really relaxed. And then to get you relaxed, but also to allow you to talk so that you can tell me what's going on. They're recorded so that you and I both can remember what was said and you can recall what was said. And if you do get to a lifetime where something has happened, we remind you that you're observing this, that you are well, and then we move you forward. So let's say that you go to a lifetime where you have a death, and perhaps you have a death and you know, maybe you're hurting or you're crying. We ask you to move forward in that lifetime, and usually, actually every time, what happens is the person sees that it's okay, that everybody's okay, that they are healed, that you know, that their soul and that they're okay. So I don't want anybody to be afraid of it, because from what I have found, it's always been very healing. It's always been very helpful. It you know, it's different. It's interesting. I did one with one of my daughters, and she ended up in a couple different lifetimes. And actually, a person that I never thought would show up, showed up in there. It was my stepdad. And I would have never thought that he would have showed up as a person in one of her lifetimes. But it just goes to show that we're all connected. And in this lifetime, my stepdad doesn't have any children. Okay? So, that is the past lives. But I can tell you that even if you do run into like a death or something where it may seem like you're hurting, the person always, always comes out healed and comes out okay. So what do you guys want to know about the past life regression? Those sessions are usually, they're at least an hour long, and it does depend on what you get in, what we get into. Sometimes they go longer, because I want to make sure that, you know, we do them and everybody's okay. And we honestly, we never know what we're going to get into, so it's very interesting. You know, Dolores Cannon did these for years. She has recently, or she passed a few years ago, but she is the one that she actually had somebody come through who talked to Nostradamus. He was talking, Nostradamus was talking to her through these past life regressions. It was quite interesting. She had another person, I believe, that I think they were either Jesus or they knew Jesus. And those ones are super interesting as well. So the fun thing about those is we never know where we're going to go. We could end up in a different country. You could end up talking in a different language. We just never know. But what I do know is that you're safe. They're always very healing. All right, guys, so what else do you guys want to know tonight? Any other questions that you have before I end this tonight and get myself ready to go to bed? And my one daughter is not feeling well tonight, so I'm going to go check on her. So what do you guys want to know? I had somebody write me on the side about orbs. Okay, orbs are, if they are perfectly round, they are souls, they're spirits. Can some of it, you know, in the camera be dust? Sure. But Normally, how you know is they are normally perfectly round, and those are normally orbs. And some of them can be very big, and they can be they can be small too, but a lot of orbs can be very big, and they just kind of randomly appear in your pictures and your videos. Orbs are souls from the other side that do hang around us. Hey. Oh, you like this color? I look good in this? Hi. Yeah, thanks. The other way that people from the other side talk to you is through music. They can put on songs, they can put on shows, they could have somebody just say something to you that reminds you of them. They can move objects because everything's energy again. So if they're on the other side and they figure out energetically how to move things, they can do that. There's numerous ways that they can come to you and they can talk to you. And like I said before in the other videos, one of my favorite movies is the Shirley Temple Bluebird, where her and the brother, they go walking through this park and the grandparents are sitting there on the bench and they walk up to the grandparents. The grandparents say, "It's been such a long time since you thought of us." And that right there, I just love that scene. And really, that's the key, that if you want to talk to somebody on the other side, just think of them. You can call their name if you want, but really just thinking about them brings them to you. Ask them a question and you'll get an idea out of the blue. Okay? When people go to the other side, it's just amazing. It's simply amazing. You merge back with Source. You merge back with God, which is pure love and bliss and healing and joy, and it's just fabulous. It's absolutely wonderful. They're never hurting on the other side. I do have some people that I've talked to that have said, you know, like they died early or too soon, and they have, you know, said, "I'm sorry." But they're never sad on the other side. I've had a few that kind of, you know, wish that they could have got more time here, but it's not to the point where they like really regret it or they're sad or they're just miserable. It's more about, you know, because over here is where you get to really experience things, okay? And over there, you can, like I said, you can do whatever you want. But it's not the same as touching something here or eating that chocolate cake here or actually taking a drink. I don't drink coffee, but taking a drink of that coffee. So said the movie, "What Dreams May Come." I've never seen the movie. I'll have to look it up. I've never seen the movie. But yeah, I'll write down the name of it because I've never seen it. What Dreams May Come. Okay, what about souls, past lives with animal-human relations? Do you think they can be intertwined? So, yes, I do think that, now we stay in the same soul family. So, you know, in another lifetime, you know, you were my mom, or you were my sister, or you were the grocery store lady, or you were my mechanic, or you were all of those things, or maybe we were neighbors. We stay within the same soul family. But also, I do believe that animals come to us or come back to us, and they stay like they don't, they're not necessarily tied to the same soul family as we are as much. But yes, I do think that they do come back. And there's also spirit animals. So we all get an angel when we come here. We all get guides when we come here. But many of us, especially if you have like the Native American, we all have a spirit animal as well. So you can also have spirit animals that come to you and keep coming to you in your lifetime. There's one lady, if you listen to Robert Swartz, he's the one that is Your Soul's Plan, it's called. And he talks about why we sign up for certain things in life, and why we go through certain things, and the pains and stuff that we go through. And he said that one lady came through with, she came here, and a horse was signed up to be her pet, and the horse was more like a soul mate for her, companion, because she was, I believe he said she was like very picked on and didn't really have anybody to talk to, but she had the horse that she could go to, and the horse understood her, and they were very close. So you can have an animal that is meant to be yours, meant to come here, because of the challenges that you'll go through. So it is that animal's job. So animals are always to love and to support and to help. Now it's just like humans. If animals are not treated well, raised well, then we get a few bad ones out of the bunch. But for the most part, animals are meant to come here and serve and to love us unconditionally. That's what they offer. But yes, you can have an animal that's assigned to you. You can also have a spirit animal, a totem, right? But I'll have to look up that movie, Karen. And I did read your messages, and I do think that the topic that you brought up is huge. And it's something that we probably could talk about next time. And though some of the things that you mentioned are things that I've experienced myself, you know, self-sabotage and, you know, looking at things that I've done or that I've said when I was not awake, right? And we do that. So anything else that you guys want to know tonight before I sign off? Like I said, just, you know, start listening to the energy around you. Start sensing that energy. Start seeing what you get. And start practicing that. Start playing with that. That is the best way to build your psychic muscle. And I really do see it as a muscle, because I see it as everybody has it. You just need to strengthen it to where you can hear it more. You can hear it quickly. And you know when it's talking to you. You know what the energy is saying to you. So the more you develop that sense, the more you can do it, the faster you can do it, the stronger it gets as well. Okay? Yeah. I'm going to look up that movie, Karen. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining me. Thank you for coming on here. And thank you so much for interacting and giving me your questions. Please give me your questions. And you can give me your topics. I will be on the Know Thyself Revolution group, Eckhart Tolle group with Poonam on Wednesday. If you guys want to join that, I'll be on there. And then I am going to try to be on here next week, Monday. I don't know if Poonam's having her group on Wednesday because of Christmas. But I'm going to be on, I'll be back on Monday. All right. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you.